Good afternoon and welcome to Weekly Sedition, the show dedicated to dissent and alternative viewpoints. This is Contra, your host this and every time, right here on 97.3 WRIR. It's Richmond Independent Radio, radio for the rest of us. I have for you today a story in two distinct parts. The first part is upsetting, disturbing even. The second part is quite a bit more inspirational. Today we head into the depths of Virginia's supermax prison, Red Onion, where at this very moment, men are hunger striking for better living conditions. But the particular story I'm telling actually starts more than a year ago, January of 2011, in the Flying Brick Radical Lending Library in Oregon Hill, where an individual whose name will be withheld talked about the group he was organizing with. It's called SPARC, which stands for Supporting Prisoners and Acting for Radical Change. Here's what the first 2 minutes of that presentation sounded like.
Me and a few other people have been in contact with some politicized prisoners who've been doing organizing work, especially in Red Onion State Prison, which is Virginia's only supermax, and in Wallens Ridge State Prison, which is one of Virginia's maximum security facilities, although actually the actual internal protocol are both pretty similar. So we've been in touch with a lot of these people for years, on and off, just dealing with a lot of stuff in terms of daily physical abuse, censorship of political materials, people's mail getting tampered with, incredibly poor living conditions, isolation conditions, which amount to psychological torture, malnourishment due to, lack of food, people being deprived of meals for days and weeks on end is behavior modification, people being put, ambulatory restraints where they, they strap you down all four limbs and left in that position sometimes for days or even more than a week, and in the course of that being deprived of food and water and so on, just generally very atrocious, repressive conditions. And we also have some people in those facilities who are, very politically committed and want to organize prisoners to, try to improve their condition and to also agitate, very explicitly for, whatever revolutionary socialist or anarchist class politics inside of the prison system and also on the street in the society at large. But the problem has been over the past few years is there's not much in the way of organized, structured external support.
That external support is what SPARC wanted to provide. Allies on the outside. Committed, organized people outside of lockup have made differences in living conditions for those inside before, even at Red Onion and nearby Wallens Ridge. SPARC says that campaigns outside those prisons have led to the elimination of electrical weapons after the related death of an inmate, and forced the resignation of the director of Virginia's Department of Corrections 2 years later, along with warden changes at both locations. But what changes were made in raw physical brutality were soon made up for with a totalitarian approach to prisoner control. The physical abuse continues, but is much more carefully handled. These days, it's the inhumane treatment we've just heard about that commands the obedience at Red Onion. At the time this audio was first aired, Red Onion was working on an ultra-isolation unit within the Super Maximum facility that simply went by the code name B4.
Most of the prisoners who will be transferred to this new unit will not have access to their belongings. They won't be allowed to wear clothing. They'll just wear sort of formless smock. Their bedding will be removed from the cell between 6 in the morning and 10 in the evening, and they will have no furniture other than a steel bed frame and then a steel sink toilet combination. And all of their activity at all time will be under audiovisual surveillance and will be recorded. And also the guards who will be working in the unit will be wearing audiovisual recording equipment on their heads or whatever, so that as they're going along the rounds, they'll have that surveillance feed too. They're designing it so that it will be very difficult for prisoners in different cells to communicate, either through line of sight or, through some sort of verbal communication. And they'll only get exercise three times a week, 1 hour per day, and exercise will consist of, you know, being monitored in a very small cage without any contact to or access to other prisoners. So basically just perpetual isolation under continual surveillance. And basically the idea that the prison administration has is to take anybody who makes trouble or anybody who complains about the really awful conditions that are occurring in the general population of Red Onion, because already what they do with, like, Red Onion, for example, is if you're in another prison and you start to complain, then they can transfer you to Red Onion. So this is like, okay, they've transferred you to Red Onion, you're still complaining, what do they do with you then? Or you're still resisting in some other way, they put you in B4.
This is actually not the first time this idea has been tried. In fact, it was tried earlier at the very same prison with the code name C4, but ended up not working out so well.
The problem they encountered with C4 was, on the one hand, they couldn't really find enough troublemakers to actually fill C4, even though it had only 20 cells. So they ended up, like, padding it out with people that they'd classified as chronic masturbators and other questionable excuses for assigning people to that unit. And also at that time, there was sort of one of the first waves of public pressure about the poor conditions in Red Onion, I think specifically spearheaded by that group in Pennsylvania, Fed Up. But now they're sort of returning back with, really, in many ways, what seems like a much more, we might say, scientifically organized structure for repressing and torturing people. And basically the idea is you hold people in there until they're willing to cooperate. So, you know, it's pretty much just, you know, mental readjustment. And, of course, the people who aren't willing to cooperate and who aren't willing to sacrifice their principles will just stay there indefinitely. Which, you know, in the case of a lot of the people at Red Onion, like, for example, I'm a Kevin Johnson, you know, that's a life sentence. So, you know, you just be held there until you die, I think, would be their ideal.
I'm pleased to report that since that time, the creation of B4 has failed, just like its predecessor, but I hope it makes clear the degree of dehumanization to which this culture of incarceration is willing to consistently strive for. A culture of supermax that a United Nations investigation of torture described as, quote, inhuman and degrading, and which an exhaustive New York Bar Association study says constitutes, quote, torture under international law, and, quote, cruel and unusual punishment under the U.S. Constitution. And in the case of Red Onion, a prison that a Human Rights Watch report said, quote, failed to embrace basic tenets of sound correctional practice and laws protecting inmates from abusive, degrading, or cruel treatment. So it was on Tuesday, May 22nd of this year, that inmates in two segregation pods of Red Onion went on hunger strike. A press conference was held outside the Virginia Department of Corrections to announce the strike.
Today, as many as 45 prisoners at Red Onion State Prison, comprising of at least two segregation pods, will enter the hunger strike. As of right now, we assume that they have denied their first trays. This is protesting the deplorable conditions in the prison and ongoing abuses by prison staff. For the men participating in the strike, this is their only recourse to get Red Onion Warden Randy Mathena to officially recognize their grievances and make immediate changes to food, sanitation, and basic living conditions at the prison.
If you look at the list of demands that the prisoners that have gone on a hunger strike today, if you look at these demands over food, sanitary conditions, disciplinary procedures, every one of these 10 demands asks the same thing, that the Department of Correction simply follow its own rules and directives. They are asking for nothing else that the Department of Correction follow its own rules. And what does that mean? That a group of prisoners have been forced to take the drastic step of taking a hunger strike? It means that they are so isolated geographically and politically from the public. They have no other recourse than to put their own bodies on the line simply to get an adequate diet, to be free from beatings and harassment, to be free from being placed into administrative segregation for indefinite periods with no way to get out other than the whims of the administration.
On Friday, May 25th, a solidarity action took place in both Roanoke and New York. For a few days, the DOC refused to recognize that the strike was taking place at all. When they finally did, the numbers of inmates they said were participating constantly changed. On the 27th, 5 days after it began, the state reported to the press that the hunger strike was over, but everyone who'd had any experience with the prison system knew that it was unwise to take their word for it. 3 days later, several supporters showed up during visitation to see two hunger-striking inmates. One of them had just been seen the week before, the day after the strike started. According to his lawyer, he never made it back to his cell. He was taken instead to an entirely empty wing of the prison and had not been seen since. When they showed up on this particular day, the warden said that he was not eligible to receive visitors. When asked why, the warden said, "I can't tell you at this time. He's in a kind of limbo situation right now, and it wouldn't be productive for the facility." The visitors received the same response about the other inmate they tried to visit. The next day, it was confirmed by Red Onion State Prison staff that one of the hunger strike leaders was transferred to Powhatan Reception and Classification Center, and as of Monday, just 2 days ago, one hunger strike leader has been able to confirm that at least two prisoners are still refusing food. It's impossible to tell exactly how many due to isolation conditions, and that they have had their clothing taken away until they eat. So obviously Red Onion knows very well that the strike is ongoing. As you can see, not just in situations like this, but in the generally restrictive and oppressive conditions of the Supermax, the big problem with trying to help from the outside ends up being the most basic one, communication. As Spark explains, it's hard to even write letters consistently.
After a certain amount of time, your address or your name is pretty much banned, and then other people and other addresses kind of have to step in. Like, there's this one guy in Pennsylvania who's been operating for years and years, working on helping prison, facilitating prison organization and communication, and his like all the addresses associated with him and his name is just completely banned from the Virginia Department of Corrections system. And occasionally he tries to get stuff through, but it never really works. So a lot of times I'll actually end up passing messages from him to people in Virginia.
Anyone who has tried to communicate with anyone in jail knows how easy it is to have letters returned. Too many photos, too much paper. Prisoner is no longer in that unit. It smells like perfume. It's true, apparently perfume is actually a no-no at the Richmond City Jail. And that's just jail. Imagine prison, or super maximum security prison. So what do? How do you get through those walls? Well, that's the second part of the story.
Sound like George Shuffler. You sing of her. Down the road from me, there's a big holler tree where you can lay down a dollar or two.
Ah, yeah.
Then you go round the bend, and when you come back again, you'll find a jug full of good old Mountain Dew.
What you're hearing is a community radio station in Kentucky, right on the border of Virginia in the Appalachian Mountains. The time is 6:50 p.m.
Y'all are tuned in to Hot 88.7 Hip Hop from the Hilltop here at WMMT.
Time's up. I'm sorry I kept you thinking of this. You keep repeating your mess. The rhyme from the microphone soloist. So you sit, hear it, pump up the volume, dance with the speaker till you hear it blow.
What you're hearing now is the same station, 10 minutes later.
My name is Sylvia Ryerson, and I'm a volunteer DJ for Hot 88.7 Hip Hop from the Hilltop and Calls from Home in Whitesburg, Kentucky.
And I'm Elizabeth Sanders, and I am a volunteer DJ, Izzy Lizzie, here at WMMT. I volunteer DJ for Hip Hop from the Hilltop and Calls from Home, and I live in Whitesburg, Kentucky.
There are actually four people that rotate responsibilities for this show, Hip Hop from the Hilltop, including a DJ named Amelia, who started the show 10 years ago.
And at that time, it was the only hip hop show on the station and the only hip hop show we knew of broadcasting hip hop music in the coalfields of Central Appalachia.
Not long after the show debuted, Amelia started getting fan letters. Not fans who listened in their cars or in their homes, but in their cells.
WMT Community Radio signal radius reaches 8 prisons and several other regional jails and detention centers. And many of the people that wind up in these facilities are from hundreds, if not thousands of miles away and are a world apart from their home communities. And so to be able to hear their own music and their own song requests coming over the radio, we want to help provide that cultural connection for them.
How does one community radio station reach so many prisons and jails? Well, you have to understand something about the way rural communities are used in the prison industrial complex. There are a number of ways to analyze this, and it's been done in many fine books on the topic, but the short version goes something like this. If you want cost-efficient incarceration located in a place where you have little oversight, move into a relatively poor community that is contemporarily and historically marginalized and exploited, Appalachia in this case, where land is cheap. Also, and this is important, promise the community lots of jobs.
Economic development is what they're telling all of us here in rural communities. Here's a prison. This is economic development. So for us, at least on this end, it's also important to talk about that and why this isn't the form of economic development we want to see for many, many reasons, at the top of which is what these prisons do to the folks that are inside and all the problems that entails.
So there's WMMT, an Appalachian community radio station surrounded by prisoners who are often urban citizens from hundreds, sometimes thousands of miles away. In this isolated region and their isolated living conditions, it only makes sense that they would appreciate this cultural connection to hip-hop. And soon, not only do the prisoners know about the show, but their families and loved ones start to hear about it as well. So one night, Amelia gets a call from a woman who'd heard about the show, and she says,
"I was hoping you could put me live on air just for a minute. I wanted to say, give a shout out to my brother who's incarcerated at, I think it was Red Onion State Prison, one of the state prisons in Southwest Virginia." And, you know, she said, "Yeah, sure, that'd be great."
The next time the show aired, more people called to send messages to their incarcerated family members and friends. And as time went on, the calls kept coming, and it became clear that this was becoming something else.
Amelia realized at the time that that was a real need and something that our station could do to support these people.
Fast forward to today. Now Hip Hop from the Hilltop has an entire portion of the show titled Calls from Home.
"Hey, for the love of my life, my husband Daryl, I love so much about you. One, because you always tell me to list what I love about you. The sparkle and intensity in your eyes. You have great eyes. The great hugs you give, you get the best anywhere, especially your blanket hugs. And how crazy and unpredictable you are sometimes, which either makes me extremely angry or just smile and start laughing at you. And how protective you are of me. Sometimes it kind of gets to me, but I like being protected. And how you keep your promises and never lie to me or hide anything from me. You take my breath away. I love you with all my soul, Daryl. Dream of me, forever your butterfly, Renee. Bye, sweet guy."
"So shout out to Chandra. How you doing, Sean? It's Grandma. Just sitting on the porch, relaxing with Aunt Deborah, Mama, and Gemma. Mama want to holler at you real quick.
Hey, son, I love you. Keep your head up, keep your face.
Hey, Sean J, this is your Aunt Gemma. Just want you to know that I love you so much. Hold your head up, baby.
We had a little cookout today. We didn't plan it, but we all got together and had one. Hopefully soon you'll be here with us to have one with us. Love you. Take care. God bless you. Pastor told me to tell you hi. Keep your head up to the sky. Love you. Talk to you next Monday."
The prison system presents a web of delayed and censored communication for everyone caught up in it. You can only visit on certain days. You can only visit for so many hours. All mail is read and screened. You can only send in certain books. And to me, so much of the beauty of this show is that nobody can control what's coming out of the radio as long as these people have access to their radios. And it's also pretty much happens in real time. We air the calls within an hour or so of them being recorded. And
sometimes they can address some of those communications too. I know there's a woman who called a couple weeks ago who mentioned, "Hey, I got my, you know, the letter I sent was returned. It said because I sent these pictures weren't appropriate. Well, it was a picture of your aunt in her bathing suit. So that's all it was. It wasn't any of your honeys, but that's, you know, I did send you a letter, so I'll send it again." So she was able to get that information across.
But over the past 2 weeks, the messages have taken on a distinctly different tone. As the prisoners of Red Onion began their hunger strike, calls started coming in that didn't quite sound like the others.
"Peace, brothers. It's Mac, your comrade, brother, and friend. As always, I send my love and respect to all of you who are currently forced to endure the inhumane living conditions at Red Onion and Walnut Ridge State Prisons. As a previous captive of these two human warehouses, and a victim of much of the abusive practices taking place there. I totally understand the intensity of the repression each of you are forced to live with on a daily basis.
Hi, my name is Pat. I'm from Oakland, California. I work with guys up at Pelican Bay and with some men on death row at San Quentin. We want to send you solidarity greetings. We hope you stay strong and take care of yourself and each other. Thanks. Bye.
Hi, this is Rachel. I'm calling from Oakland, California, from Critical Resistance, and I just wanted to send a message of solidarity to everyone in solitary housing at Red Onion to say everybody's thinking of you out here, and we stand in support of you, so keep your heads up.
This is Joanne in Tennessee, and I just wanted to shout out to all the incarcerated men and women, especially at Red Onion. Want to say stay strong and stay calm. Things are changing, and right now we are in a peak cycle. There's tremendous energy out here. It's not all focused, but it's there, and it's building. There is a spirit here now, and you can feel it. It's not just a brick and mortar change, but we still got a long way to go.
I'm just calling to express my solidarity with what y'all are doing out there. I want you to know, for whatever it's worth, that your struggle is not alone, and people are watching and learning and are being inspired and are taking up work around it. And I think that it's important for us all to remember the sacrifices that you folks are making and understand how that relates to all kind of different struggles that are happening in all kind of different places throughout the United States and elsewhere. And so for my own self and for other folks that I talk to out here, you're in our thoughts, you're in our hearts, and we're with you. So keep on keeping on.
Okay, this is Barbara, and on behalf of Perry Red, here at Socially Speaking in D.C., we're in solidarity with you brothers and are working here on the outside for criminal justice reform. We support you in your hunger strike.
You get the idea. Calls like this went on and on. So that in one of the most secure facilities in the country, a place where it seemed like nothing could go in or out without permission, encouragement, solidarity, and hope penetrated walls of brick and steel.
We get a lot of letters from, you know, every week we get a lot of letters from guys inside that are listening to the show, and something we hear again and again is that people are so grateful that this show exists, and many of them are pretty surprised that a show like ours exists here in Central Appalachia. And we've had men write us before to say, when I first got sent here, I couldn't believe a show like this existed here in Southwest Virginia or here in East Kentucky. I would have never thought that I had that there were people supporting me as a prisoner so close by. And I think that's also a part of why I think this show is so important, for the guys inside to know that not everybody right outside the prison thinks that they're the worst of the worst hardcore criminals and nobody cares about them, because so many of the people that are sent to prisons in this region have never been to these mountains before, and their only contact with the culture of this area is through the guards. And that's a pretty limited view of this region and all it has to offer. And so we want people to know that they have people here that care about them, that are right around the corner from those prisons, and they have support really close by. Did I say that okay, Elizabeth?
Yeah, I think you said that great.
That's all we've got time for today. You've been listening to Weekly Sedition right here on 97.3 WRIR. It's Richmond Independent Radio. Radio for the rest of us.
Let's go, fellas. Shout time's up in 5 minutes. That's it. 5 more minutes and that's it. Yo.
Little Khadija pops his lock. She wanna pop the lock. My prison ain't nothing but a private stock. And she be dreaming about his date of release. She hate the police, but loved by her grandma who hugs and kisses her. Her father's a political prisoner, free Fred. Son of a panther that the government shot dead back in 12-4-1969. 4 o'clock in the morning, it's terrible, but it's fine. Cause Fred Hampton Jr. looks just like him, walks just like him, talks just like him. And it might be frightening the feds and the snitches. I see him organize the gang, brothers and sisters, so he had to be framed, yo. You know how the game go, 18 years because the 5-0 said so. They said he set a fire to an A-Rap store, but he ignited the minds of the young black and poor. Behind enemy lines, my niggas are cellmates. Most of the youth never escape the jail fate. Super maximum camps will advance their game plan to keep us in the hands of the man locked up.
Hello? Collect call from Ness.
Where are you?
Yo, shit is crazy, boy.
Have you been?
Yo, I miss you. Yo, once. Put some money in my commissary.
Lil Kenny been smoking Lucy since he was 12. Now he 25, locked up with an L. They call him Triple K, cause he killed 3 niggas. Another ghetto child got turned into a killer. His pops was a Vietnam veteran on heroin, used like a pawn by these white North Americans. Mama couldn't handle the stress and went crazy. Grandmama had to raise the baby, just a young boy, born to a life of poverty. Hustling, robbery, whatever brung the paper home. Carried the chrome like a blind man, hold a cane. Tattoos all over his chest so you could know his name. But y'all know how the game go. D's kicked in the front door and guess who they came for? A young nigga headed for the pen. Could've been, should've been, never see the hood again.
Behind enemy lines, my niggas are cellmates. Most of the youth never escape the jail fate. Super maximum camps will advance their game plan to keep us in the hands of the man. Locked up behind enemy lines, my niggas are cellmates. Most of the youth never escape the jail fate. Super maximum camps will advance their game plan to keep us in the hands of the man locked up.
Cuando yo llamo es como tú no me quieres escuchar. No he visto mis hijos, mi mujer. No me mandan retratos, no tengo dinero. Estoy aquí jodido en la cárcel, metido.
You ain't got to be locked up to be in prison. Look how we living. 30,000 niggas a day up in the bin. Standing routine, they put us in a box. Just like our life on the block.
Behind enemy
you ain't
lines.
Got to be locked up to be in prison. Look how we living. 30,000 niggas a day up in the bin. Standing routine, they put us in a box. Just like our life on the block.
Behind enemy lines.